Did the Boston Celtics just lose to a future teammate? I'm talking Harrison Barnes with Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston right now on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Millis, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Millie. Hey there, welcome back, and thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you are going. The gym, maybe your gym is open, to work, maybe you're at work, maybe you're in the shower. Whatever it is, thank you for downloading Locked On Celtics Podcast, making it the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. I'm John Corrales. I am the Monday through Friday host of this show. I am also the author of The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available at booksellers everywhere. This show is all about Harrison Barnes and the traded player exception. It has become a topic again, and I shouldn't say again, really. It's continued to be a topic, especially as guys have been hurt. We have seen the importance of this traded player exception, and Danny Ainge, on his regular Thursday appearance on Toucher and Rich, was asked about that very traded player exception. And obviously Harrison Barnes has been a topic of conversation recently. So here's what he had to say about using the traded player exception. And if he was asked if what the sweet spot would be for using it.
We are doing research on it. We have been all year, and we'll continue all the way up to the trade deadline, which is the end of March. And I think that's the sweet spot, most likely, is latter March. But, you know, we'd do it right now if we had a really good deal. But the challenge is that deals that you could do to incrementally change your team might be able to be done shortly, here within the next week or two, but are you passing up a chance that could come along that would be even better down the road? And that's what we have to try to identify.
Late March, which is the trade deadline, is the sweet spot. Also, he said earlier in his appearance there on Toucher and Rich, he's looking at shooting with size and a guy who is more of a complete player and can help them on defense too, adding that, I know that we have not won a championship, but we need defense. It's hard to find a shooter that can't guard anybody and expect that person to make a major change on our team. So basically, Danny Ainge is saying, no, J.J. Redick. Sorry, we're out on J.J. Redick. But shooting with size does bring up Harrison Barnes. He is a guy with some size, and he can shoot, and he can defend. We just saw that with the Celtics' loss at Sacramento. Could Harrison Barnes be a guy the Celtics target? Well, Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston wrote earlier this week why Harrison Barnes is an ideal TPE candidate for the C's. So let's bring in Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston to talk about Harrison Barnes. First of all, good to talk to you. You know, we don't see each other much anymore. We are just
used to.
We used to
before pre. Yeah. Now it's just like I see you on Zooms sometimes.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just the way of the world.
It's a weird time, but all right. You know, we can get through it. Hopefully. So you and I have each staked our traded player exception claim. I jumped out with my big Aaron Gordon take, and now you have set Celtics internet on fire with your Harrison Barnes take.
I don't feel like I'm, I like, I feel like some smart people were mentioning this before me. It's like, I don't feel like I can take complete ownership, but I'll try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, just this is, look, it's 2021. Take the ownership. It doesn't matter whose idea it was first. It's just a matter of whose idea it is now and who everybody's talking to. So own it, buddy. Own it.
All right. Well, I will.
Okay. So I think I like the Harrison Barnes thing better. So here's my reasoning for Aaron Gordon was partly because he fits nicely as just an absorb him, give up picks. Maybe you send back a young player or whatever it takes, but it's not like you have to clear out the space first. So to me, that's cleaner, but for Harrison Barnes, obviously, the Celtics have to clear out space, but you're going to have to give up players for Harrison Barnes anyway. So you wrote it up. You wrote it up on NBC Sports Boston. What exactly is your case for Harrison Barnes?
To me, it's simple with Harrison Barnes. He checks so many of the boxes that the Celtics need. And I think it starts with being a four, a wing, you know, defensive versatility. Watching that game the other night against Sacramento, I thought it was telling that he was guarding Jason Tatum for long stretches. It shows the caliber of player he can defend. But he does, in a way, a lot of what Gordon Hayward brought you, right? But someone that also probably embraces being the fourth option a little bit more, at least based on his past history in Golden State. And I do think it's a bigger swing. Like, you know, you have this $28.5 million. You can divide it up however you want, but you know, spending 22 of it on Harrison Barnes for someone who's going to be under contract for 3 years, I just think you're getting about as much bang for your buck as possible. And you sort of alluded to it, like the Celtics, there's some gymnastics they have to go through. They can't just spend $28.5 million, 22, and sending out a little bit of salary seems like about as much as they can do in season. And I think it actually gets even more cumbersome after the year. So I just think it's like, it's a really ideal situation. The hard part is, what is the Kings' motivation here? Do they want to sneak in to the postseason and be the ninth or eighth seed? Like, ESPN's Basketball Power Index gives them, I think, an 11% chance of being one of the top eight seeds right now, based on how they've played so far. Now, that you know, clearly that they're trending up and they've been playing well, and De'Aaron Fox is awesome. But, you know, does Monty McNair sit there and say, like, what good is it to just make the playoffs? And if they're not, and they're willing to build this thing out slower, then I think they put themselves in a really advantageous spot moving forward. And then it just comes down to price tag. So are you willing to give up a pick, a player? You know, that's how much will they shoot for? Because Harrison Barnes is playing really inspired basketball right now. And so they might try to hold Ainge's feet to the fire as much as possible.
Yeah. I think Harrison Barnes is going to be one of those guys that's sought after for teams that, if you're looking across the landscape of the NBA and you say, whoa, now Harrison Barnes, even the Sacramento people are sitting there saying, like, was this an audition for the Celtics? I think people in Sacramento understand that even though he's playing well, what makes the most sense for the Kings? And look, you and I see it. We get it on Twitter. People throw out these trade ideas and right, they don't take into account what the other team would want. And
so if I'm Sacramento and I, like, again, what is your timeline? If you're Sacramento, you're saying, okay, we could sneak into the playoffs. Now we end this drought since 2006, but what are you accomplishing? Are you bounced out in the play-in game? Do you get bounced in the first round by the Lakers or the Clippers or Utah or whatever? You know, how much does that help your franchise? There is a value in making the playoffs. The 2014 Celtics showed that, where you start turning the tide a little bit and get those young players a taste of the postseason. But if you're able to take Harrison Barnes, who doesn't match the timeline of a De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, and get even if it's just future first round picks, those are valuable as trade assets, as using them further down the road, and maybe a player. So, you know, I think the natural instinct is to say Romeo or Nesmith, you know, recent first round picks that haven't quite gotten the chance to show what they can do in different circumstances there, with obviously with Romeo not being healthy and Nesmith just improbably sort of just sitting there on the bench, even in games where you're super shorthanded. So, you know, you take them on, you give them a chance to play and develop, and you hope that they are part of your young core, and that all of a sudden, without Harrison Barnes' contract on the books, you've got max cap space as early as this summer to go pursue a star that does line up with the timeline a little bit better. Again, it comes down to how much pressure does Monty McNair feel in terms of having to make the playoffs and taking this thing over. And, you know, that's the harder part to get a read on.
This conversation is just getting started. Much more with Chris Forsberg coming up. Now, betonline.ag does not have future teams for Harrison Barnes just yet. It does allow you to bet on Bradley Beal's future team. It's one of the many creative things that you can bet on at betonline.ag. So go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up for your free account. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you deposit, 50% of that number, it's going to get added to your account as a welcome bonus, courtesy of our friends at betonline.ag. So if you want one of those bets, like the Bradley Beal one, or if you want to bet on the Super Bowl, if you want to bet on some of this in-game stuff that's happening during NBA games, you can do that all on betonline.ag. So you don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get into the action. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, nobody's got the Celtics covered like we do here at Locked On Celtics, but you want to know more about the sports world in general. That's why you need to download Locked On Today. Go ahead and subscribe to Locked On Today, and host Peter Bukowski is going to get you all the big topics, all the sports news you need every morning, and in less than 20 minutes. Quick hitting, all the big stories, and it's going to be a great way for you to get caught up on all the big sports news you need to know. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Now let's dive right back into the conversation with Chris Forsberg. Looking at who they might target, this is like, I love this team building stuff. You know, do you go out and you throw a big restricted contract offer to a John Collins, and maybe you make a different decision with your bigs rotation, and if you can get a Romeo Langford, like, couldn't Romeo Langford sort of be looked at as a potential future Harrison Barnes type? I mean, he's got size. He's not as big, but he's got size. He can shoot. He can defend. If he can kind of grow into that, you say, hey, we get a rookie type like that, or Nesmith, if you think he can grow into that. You trade this guy who's on a big contract. You open up some cap space. You get a rookie back that could kind of fill that role on a timeline that makes more sense with Fox and Halliburton. I can see that. Like, this is one of those scenarios where I say, okay, I can see this along with the picks. I can see this being a valuable thing for the Sacramento Kings, especially if the Celtics include this 2021 draft pick, because even if it's going to be low, it still has value. This is going to be a good draft.
Yeah, and so that one of the exercises I went through and did today was like sort of ranking the Celtics trade assets. And like, we've all sort of done this, right? Where, you know, okay, what can attract teams the most? And I think if we're being honest, it's more like picks down the road, right? Like after 2025, maybe, like when Tatum and Brown are either starting to come off the books, or the roster potentially could look a little bit different. But they do have intriguing young pieces that, in the right situation. Part of the thing that Brad Stevens is battling right now is trying to develop young players while concurrently trying to win games. And he's always sort of struggled with this, understandably so in some regards. But, you know, I've been a little bit surprised that we haven't seen more of Nesmith in this stretch, just to, again, just figure out what you've got, you know. And maybe some of that you start thinking, well, are they worried about hurting his trade value? You know, I just think the other way, like, let him go out there and at least show glimpses. And so as hard as it would be to maybe swallow hard on, you know, having to move a Langford or a Neesmith, it costs talent to get talent. And the draft picks don't overly concern me. Like if you look at it and you're like, you know, they already moved the number 30 pick last year with Desmond Bane. And, you know, so why not just be willing to go all in a situation where you feel like your championship window is open. And so you can go get a JJ Redick at cheaper probably but I just think the upside with Harrison Barnes, especially the length of the contract, makes a whole lot more sense. And so can you get both sides to tango? And I'll be fascinated because I don't know who else, you know, I started thinking about, well, who else could jump in the bidding for Harrison Barnes? You know, is there any other team out there, any other contender that could really put together a package to get up to that amount of money that makes sense for Sacramento? And I think the Celtics, with that traded player exception, put themselves in a little bit of a strong position.
Right. I think the cap space for Sacramento is going to be a big time player in this. Here's another reason why I like the Harrison Barnes thing, that three more years and it's of descending value. So it's $22 million this year. It's 20.2 next year and 18.3 the year after that. So tax wise, there's a financial thing there that the Celtics can consider, but that contract ending in 22-23 season, that fits. That's also Kemba's last year. That's a year after Marcus Smart contract is up. So what do they do with Marcus Smart? There's a question there. But that's also with one more year left on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So the Celtics have this season, next season, and potentially the season after to show Tatum and Brown, like, hey, where are we here? This is where Tatum and Brown come into this and start being consulted. What do you guys like? How do you guys feel? How has this been going? And at that point, you can use the Barnes contract as an expiring that you can trade somewhere and get something in to make those guys maybe a little happier if they're not happy. So that three-year deal is, I think, a little bit more important because of the length, that it is tradable. And we really do have to take into account, Chris, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, their stardom, this really does, they really have a big hand in how this team is built.
So I think, like, in general, for me, with the traded player exception, I almost rule out guys that are going to be free agents after the season, because unless there's a bird right situation where you feel like you could get them back at a reasonable number, but like, this has to be a move you make that solidifies your team now and into the future. And just like you said, the timeline really matches up with Barnes. And now it does so too with Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross. And, you know, there's other names out there that have the multiple years remaining that sync up. But I just think I really like the idea of how the timeline matches with Kemba. And all of a sudden you're in a position where, just as you said, you know, as early as the 2023 season, you're probably looking and saying, okay, you know, what's going on with Bradley Beal? What's going on with Donovan Mitchell and all the guys that we sort of think that Tatum and Brown want to play with?
Right.
And is there more likely a scenario there where you can add a piece and start building the next iteration of your core, and however this is going to look deeper into the future? You know, as you said, like, every decision the Celtics make has to be under the guise of, how did Jason and Jaylen feel about it, and does it make them better? And I think we've already seen that, because I think going in this past off season, when they sat there and said, you know, Danny goes to those guys and sort of says, like, well, do you guys want to play with Miles Turner? And they're like, well, just, and this is me guessing, you know, and look, the benefit of hindsight, we can talk about that. But, you know, I think they wanted to play with Tristan Thompson, someone who they'd seen in the playoffs, and they felt like they could bring a veteran presence and get to help get this team over the hump. And so I just think there's a lot of ways that this works both now and deeper into the future. And so I'm, you know, again, like you said, we sort of dig in and take ownership of these things. And I feel like I've maybe taken the Harrison Barnes fan club presidency. But until I see a better deal out there that I think that makes sense, I just feel like this is the one that checks the most boxes.
Yeah. And so just to reiterate, this deal does cost the Celtics something. They do have Harrison Barnes makes 22.2. They got to get somewhere, what, like 18 or so?
Yeah.
So you they're going to have to give players back. And so if you separately give them, you say, hey, please take Jeff Teague off of our hands. we'll give you.
I don't know if Sacramento wants that.
I'm just being hopeful there. But you got to give something up. And I think it's pretty easy for the Celtics to give something up. Now, is this an opportunity, do you think, for the Celtics to also clear up their big man rotation? Because there's some money there that could go out that might kind of solve two problems, two birds with one stone, so to speak. Coming back to wrap up my conversation with Chris in just a minute, I'm going to grab a Built Bar, peel back that wrapper, and enjoy what tastes like a candy bar, but what is actually good for me in 18 amazing flavors, but a ton of protein, all the protein you need without all those added calories, and especially no crazy sugar or carbs. It is the best tasting protein bar on the market, bar none. I'm telling you, I've had a ton of these protein bars. Like, I've been an athlete my whole life. And even though I'm older, I still fancy myself as a little bit of an athlete, even for an older guy. So I'm always looking for good ways to supplement what I'm doing, what I'm eating, how I'm working out. And when I need to get more protein in my body, Built Bar is a great way to do it because they're soft, they're easy to chew, they're covered in chocolate. It's a great snack. It's a great meal replacement. And when I grab one of my peanut butter ones, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. So I know it's not going to spoil my workout. It's going to give my muscles the protein they need to grow after a workout. It's perfect. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go buy a single box. Get one of those mixed boxes. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com, and you're going to get 20% off that order. Find a flavor or two or three or more that you like. Then go back and buy full boxes of those. You can use the promo code again, LOCKEDON, and you're still going to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, saving money at BuiltBar.com is not the only way you're going to save money through the Locked On Podcast Network. You're also going to do it when you buy auto parts, anything that you need for your car. It doesn't have to be something for your engine. It doesn't have to be something complicated. It could be something as simple as windshield wipers, floor mats, a replacement for your headlights or taillights. It's all available at rockauto.com. There is absolutely no need to go into some strip mall and go into this dark place with a guy behind the counter, a person behind the counter that's just going to enter all the same information that you can enter into rockauto.com. And by giving that person the information, that person's going to give you what they have in stock. rockauto.com is going to give you the part that you want at a price that beats the competition, 30 to 50 to 100% off. Here's an example. A fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey, $354 at Advance, $217 at rockauto.com. That extra $30? My math is terrible. It's going to help. That's a couple of meals delivery that you can get. So go to rockauto.com. Look, it's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers for 20 years. They're not going to give the pros a better price than you, the do-it-yourselfer. They don't believe in that. They don't believe in charging you a different price, like an airline ticket, of what the market can bear. They don't believe in that either. They have a catalog that's unique. It's easy to navigate. So go check it out. When you do buy something, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box, so they know we sent you. That's super, super important. That's the only way they're going to know that we sent you. So write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I hope you subscribe to Locked On NBA because I host the Wednesday show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. So I do the 5 Celtics podcasts, and then every week I do another one on Wednesdays at Locked On NBA. Now on Fridays, you're going to get Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mares of Locked On Nuggets. I'm recording this as the Lakers and Nuggets are playing right now, and the Lakers are running away with the game, so you know Anthony is going to be insufferable And Adam is just going to kind of, if you listen to that dynamic, it is a lot of fun. So Adam's just going to give him some shit no matter what. But check out Anthony and Adam. They'll bring you, obviously, the game recaps. They have their own fun stuff, NBA power rankings, fun power rankings that you can't miss. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. Now let's wrap up this conversation about Harrison Barnes and the traded player exception with Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston.
Tice is playing so well. I thought going into the year that there was a good chance that Tice would be moved before the deadline, if only because as a impending free agent and with the team's limited means to retain him after this season, like they can certainly spend, but you know, that luxury tax bill is going to get expensive in a hurry if they try to bring him back. And at that point, you know, you still got Tristan, you're hopeful that Rob Williams is at that point more solidified. So, you know, and I guess you're hoping that Grant Williams, whether you figure out whether you can, how much you can lean on him here. And so I just think there's still a chance that Tice is involved in all of this, but he's played so well and he clearly has such chemistry with that first group that I'd probably be a little bit reluctant to go in that direction. And he's just such a value. Like, you hate to just throw him into a trade because you need to make money work. When I see the Celtics doing this deal, you know, it does get a little bit cumbersome because, you know, you can do it where the Celtics take back Harrison Barnes into that traded player exception, but the other team now has to absorb, like, whether it's, so let's just say it's Aaron Nesmith. And, you know, so how are they doing that? You know, I haven't checked Sacramento's traded player exception availability. I don't think they have any, you know, so now they've got to make salaries work to just make that deal, you know, work on their end. So it could snowball a little bit bigger. You know, Bielisa's wasting away on their bench. You know, could you find a way to get him too? But then the Celtics have to send up so much more salary. So I don't know. Like, I haven't quite figured out the full iteration of it. Again, some of that depends on what Sacramento's interested in. But the Celtics would probably be well served to move out multiple bodies in terms of guys that are sort of, for lack of a better word, cluttering up the end of the bench. You know, I think that could help Brad narrow down his rotations a little bit. I think that could help maybe help the Celtics add a buyout candidate who wants to come play here if something became available that intrigued them. But it's hard for me to say they get through this process of adding someone and that the end of the bench looks similar. So you're going to, you know, whether you're moving Nesmith or Langford and, you know, do you throw Carson or Javonte or Shemmy in there because, you know, the other team will be able to clear them from the books pretty quickly. I think we'll see some shuffling here that brings into focus a little bit more roster clarity.
So just for accuracy's sake, I have Sacramento's one trade exception, which is $2.673 million. That's from the Dwayne Dedmon deal. That expires March 22nd. So that does put a little bit, that's right around the trade deadline. So
like off the top of my head, they could absorb, you know, again, someone small into that, you know, Javonte, Shemmy, but it's not enough to get a Langford or right, or Nesmith, who I think are more like $3.5 million. So again, you know, these are the things that have to line up as well. And it's tricky, but not prohibitive. Like, this isn't something that both sides will have to do a little gymnastics, but I think it's very feasible in my mind to make a deal happen.
Sure. The Celtics players that fit, just $2.5 million is Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, ooh, Robert Williams, Shemi Ojeleye, Jeff Teague, Javonte Green, Carson Edwards. Those are the players that fit.
First off, how dare you even suggest that Robert Williams could be put in the trade?
Just stating a fact that these are salaries that fit into that traded player exception.
I understand that, but I might get a little defensive about this. Allow my future all-star center to live and not being just sandwiched into a deal.
No, well, I mean, there are Western Conference all-stars too. He could make the True. Western Conference all-star team.
Yeah, he can muscle out Jokic.
Sure. Okay, so Danny Ainge has said, like, he was on the radio Thursday morning, like he always is. He said in the past, it really feels like this is shaping up to the Celtics using this traded player exception. He said it. He said this is the sweet spot, this trade deadline. I don't want to go back to a few years ago where the Celtics promised fireworks and didn't deliver, but everything seems to be lining up towards, like, we know it. Fans know it. I think Danny Ainge knows it. Using this now makes sense.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where, unless, like, you know, I feel like there's some pressure inherent from, okay, you know, you didn't make that deal with Indiana, and who knows if that could have ever gotten to the finish line. But, you know, I think it's clear the Celtics weren't smitten by what they could have gotten in that scenario. And so you ultimately had to settle for this traded player exception, but it gets really cumbersome after this year. Once Tatum's extension kicks in, you know, it there's a lot more gymnastics that go into it. And so the window is open. Jaylen Brown's ascension has sort of put them in maybe a different spot than, you know, maybe they would have treaded a little bit more carefully had he not really emerged here early in the season. But the way him and Tatum are playing, you know, there's only so many years of this that you're guaranteed. And so it's time to strike. So there's a pressure on Ainge. Obviously the fan base would like to see that based on, you know, okay, what did you get for Gordon Hayward? And so, like, not that Danny would ever operate out of a place of, oh, the fans want me to make a move, I have to make a move, but I think we all get it. This is the time to make the move. This is when it makes most sense. You know, they can always go with little smaller chunks and add players that way, but I am hopeful that their best chance at a championship, I think, is taking as big a swing as possible. And that's why we invariably revert back to guys like Barnes and Gordon and, you know, all these other guys that we're going to bring up.
Yep. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Danny Ainge proceeds.
Who else do you like? Who else? Give me some more names.
No. So my names are basically all on the Orlando Magic. So I think it goes probably Gordon Ross Fournier. In that order. I've made my case for Gordon. He's in a similar boat. He's 25, so he's young. Brad Stevens has this opportunity to unlock a guy, getting him to do what he does best, not what he thinks he should be doing best. Again, it's a cleaner fit because he makes this season, what is he making? 18.1. So it's a matter of what does Orlando see themselves doing. Like, the Celtics can just get Aaron Gordon and work out a deal where they take back, I don't know, some bad salary and give Orlando the young players that they might be looking for in, you know,
Do we know what Orlando is looking for?
Taco Fall, going back to Orlando, you know?
Sell tickets. I mean, the Magic are fascinating to me. I'm the same way. I really like their individual pieces, and yet, like, then why hasn't it worked for them? And there's something to the whole notion of sometimes you just need a different scenery, and certainly Aaron Gordon's life becomes a lot easier if you slot him next to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But yeah, I'm intrigued by that. Like, Ross is really intriguing to me as a lesser scale move, just because gives you that size and shooting off the bench, you know, not necessarily the four that they need, but certainly a guy who just, you know, he's going to come in and make shots. It's weird that I feel probably more confident that he'll be able to do that than JJ Redick, which defies all kind of logic based on,
right.
But, you know, Redick being 36, it just scares me a little bit. This one always surprised me because Scal always brings it up to me every time we start this discussion. He's like, what would it take to get Vucevic? And I was like, it's a lot more difficult because of the salary number, but, you know, it, and does that really solve your problem? Like, you know, I don't know if he's the five that separates you, but it's at least worth kicking around. Like, I do. And I think the cost would be a lot higher, you know, multiple first round picks probably.
Right.
Would you think about that at all?
Well, that makes it so much harder because he's 26 million. So, and it is going to cost you more, but, like, it seems like Orlando has a pretty full roster, and this is where you get to the next problem. So Vooch makes 26. You have to clear you have to clear 8 million. So that's not something you can do in an unbalanced trade. And who did the Celtics send out to start doing that. You got to start sending out higher salary guys. At that point, are you sending out Tristan Thompson? You just hard capped yourself to get Tristan Thompson, and now you're going to send him out. Sure, Thompson goes in a deal if you can get Vooch, but like, I think the numbers, I don't think the numbers line up. He's a descending contract too, 3 years at a descending contract, sure. But I agree with you that, okay, he's a shooting big, but so what do you do with the four spot? Are you just going, you're going Kemba, Smart, Jason, Jalen, and Vooch, and then you're moving, I guess you're keeping Tice and he goes to the bench, but then you're still thin off the bench. I'd rather keep a serviceable big and add depth at the wing, that 3-4 spot. And that's just more versatile because you can play big, you can play small, you can play those guys in different combinations. Vooch is a center. He's a stretch big, but he's still just a center. So I don't like that move as much. And maybe he's more talented than the guys that we're talking about. If the situation isn't right, then the player's not right.
Yeah, it's completely fair. And that's sort of where I come down on it, too. I just don't know if he solved enough of your issues. Like, I think Harrison Barnes fixes a lot more of what ails you than necessarily Vucevic does. And same deal. I like the player. I think it'd be super intriguing. I think Boston's offense would be an absolute wagon adding a guy who stretches the floor like that and could really – you know, create space for all these guys, but don't know if it helps you going up against Embiid. I think you're more likely in that scenario, crossing your fingers on Tristan. I can see a scenario where like Tice goes out in that deal, you know, Orlando could figure out, get a couple months with Tice, figure out if they want to bring him back. If not, you know, you're off that money. I don't know. Like Orlando's just weird. I have no idea what they're doing and what their long-term plan is. And if they're not, if they might just be content to be the ninth seed and play in a play-in tournament. I don't know why they wouldn't want to just let the Hornets and the Hawks do that, but I would hope that, like, you know, and that's the other thing, we should stress that. One of the complicating factors here is that because of the expanded playoffs with this play-in stuff, you know, there's more teams that are going to look up before mid-March and be like, you know, are we in this? Like, could we sneak into the playoffs? And I think that makes it more difficult for Danny Ainge to necessarily find sellers. You know, that's why I think we sort of look at Sacramento and say, oh, they should, but no guarantee they will. And so you're left with a smaller pool of teams that are probably looking to sell. Maybe that changes. Maybe like there's some separation here in the next couple of weeks and teams just kind of come to grips with where they're at. But yeah, it adds a layer of complication to the in-season process.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a team in Sacramento that hasn't made the playoffs since 2006, and there's value to making the playoffs, but This is the hardest part for a team that's looking to sell. But they're not looking to sell a major piece. Yeah, Harrison Barnes is part of their closing lineup, but it's not like, oh my God, we traded Harrison Barnes. I guess we're blowing it up. You're not. Like,
right.
You're bringing back potential guys that can do some of what he does in, you know, with a lot less money. And not to rehash these arguments, but that money could be valuable. You're saying, okay, maybe we don't make the playoffs this year. What's one more year when you've got Fox, who is, you know, a stud, and Halliburton, who's showing like, okay, this is our backcourt of the future. We got the backcourt. Harrison Barnes is not part of the front court of the future. He's part of the front court of now. And you're not, it's easy for us to say outside of it that now is not what you should be worried about in Sacramento, but you know, maybe if we're talking about like the timing that hurts Danny Ainge, maybe the timing that helps Danny Ainge is, hey, we're not going to be making playoff, you know, a big playoff gate anyway. It doesn't look like fans are going to be filling up that arena this year. So if you're going to miss the playoffs, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter because you're not getting, you know, 3 or 4 home games in the playoffs to pad your bottom line, fine, we'll miss the playoffs this year. We'll be more exciting next year. Maybe we have, instead of just making the playoffs, we could say, hey, we've made it so we've got a long-term team that fits better. The timeline is right. We're starting an extended run, and maybe that just fuels the ticket sales next year. Maybe.
I think we're ready to call it into the league.
That's it. It's done.
The deal's done. Yeah.
All right,
you're
Chris.
Welcome, Monty and Danny.
Look, as usual, podcasts have all the answers. So, all right, Chris, I really appreciate you hopping on for a while. It's good talking to you again instead of just texting back and forth every day.
Yeah.
But one of these days, we'll get back into that building.
One of these days. It'll be fun. And I look forward to it. Until then, we'll just team transcribe for life.
That's it. Oh, captain, my captain. Thanks, bud. Hope you enjoyed the show. Chris is a good dude, and he makes a great point about Harrison Barnes. I think this could be the one. It just depends on Sacramento, what they're looking for, and if the Celtics can pull this off. I think that would be a great get, and it's possible. It's certainly possible. I think I do believe Barnes ahead of Aaron Gordon. I think that could be the one. Although, I don't know. I made the point about Aaron Gordon. I go back and forth, but I think Harrison Barnes could be the guy. I will have Chris back at some point soon. So subscribe to the podcast. I'm not doing a Clippers post game podcast, but I will do a podcast on Sunday. The Celtics do play on Sunday at Phoenix. So I will, that's an early game too, because of the Super Bowl. So I will, hopefully this game is worth, the Clippers game is worth rolling into the Phoenix post game. I'll talk about both. And so subscribe if you haven't. If you are a subscriber, a good written review would be amazing. You know, and also shout out to the people who have given me one star and a poor review because they've disagreed with something non-basketball that I said. Seriously, there are a few of those people out there. So if anybody wants to give me a 5-star rating and a good written review to counterbalance those idiots, I would really appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing the podcast and telling everybody that they should listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.